United Nations and Muslims and Jews. It's kind of hard to buy all of that at one time, isn't it? Standing here in front of you. Those of you that are online, we hope that you're able to hear us better with this session than the last one. We encourage you, you know, to be patient and make dua, because it's Allah that gives the tawfiq or success. And now I'm going to do a little inventory here in the building and find out, just number one, how many non-Muslims do we have? Any non-Muslim, raise your hand. One, two, three. Okay, guys, you see the target. How many Muslims do we have with us today? Raise your hand. Okay, you're outnumbered, that's for sure. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Hu Allah, the Jalim Muslimin. Our subject tonight is the topic, the Quran, and I'm going to make it as a question mark. Is this the last revelation? Is that okay? Islam is the final revelation? Quran. You said Quran. Wait a minute, hold on. We'll have a discussion here. Go ahead. Never mind. We're just going to press forward. It's nice to know that we're consistent. It's not just online that we're having these difficulties, is it? Anyway, so the topic is about the Quran. Is it the last revelation? Is that right? Did anybody see any of the posters? Is that what it said? He said, no, but there were no posters. Okay. By the way, I didn't finish taking the inventory of the class. I asked about Muslims, non-Muslims. And I forgot to ask you, is there anybody that's not here right now? Raise your hand. Okay, one. Now, there's always one. You're not from Egypt, are you? No? That's all right. They'll adopt you. No problem. As you can tell already, this is not a conventional, average kind of a talk. There will be, hopefully, some fun, and we'll have some humor. We hope that we will also discover some things about each other, and we'll learn and share together, so that when we leave out of the room, this is my goal, by the way. My goal when I go in and out of these buildings is not to just get a few minutes older. It's so that when I go out from this meeting, this gathering, I hope I'm a better person. And I hope that I have something I can use, and I can go out with that and maybe make a little bit of difference. Because, you know, one person, he can't do anything by himself, can he? One person, he can't do anything at all. Because there's 7 billion people living on this planet, more or less. This is an estimated guesstimation, okay? That's a lot of folks, though. And so one definitely can do nothing. But what if all of those people tried to do a little something? How much a better world would it be to live? Wouldn't it? So that's what I can do, is my little part, to be a little bit better each day. And so what I'm saying is that whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim or whatever your belief or no belief, at least let's start with that premise that we're going to each day try to improve ourselves a little bit. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, try to improve what you got. And ultimately, then it should be the goal that I'm not just doing this to see the world be better, but so that I'll be better, so that maybe someday things will be better all the way around. Does it make sense? Yeah. And that's an honest approach for all of us to begin with. Next thing is to talk to ourselves now about the subject of Quran. How many of you know some of the Quran, memorized it? Raise your hand. Okay. So the majority of the people here have already memorized some Quran, and alhamdulillah, it's very good. But for the benefit of those who don't know what's the Quran, is there anybody here never even heard the Quran in your life, don't have a clue what we're talking about, Quran? Anybody? So everybody's at least heard it. The Quran is the revelation. It says that it's revelation, or wahi is the word in Arabic for revelation, from Allah to the mankind. So before I can talk about this subject too deep, I have to be fair and consider that somebody in the audience may not know what these Arabic words are. What is wahi? What's a Nabi? What's Allah? What's Islam? So let's start out with the first word, Allah. Because that is who we claim sent the Quran is Allah. And Allah is an Arabic word. How many of you think the word Allah is just simply Arabic for God? The Arabic word means God, right? How many? There's always a few takers in there. Gotcha. No wrong answer. Allah doesn't mean God. And if you say it does, you're going to give the people the wrong impression. Because when it comes to God, this is what Christians and Jews, they say that's who they worship. We say Allah is who we worship. Now, when I define the meaning of it, then you can decide who you worship. Okay? The meaning of this word, because the word in Arabic, if you want to talk about it, see, English is the problem here, really. It's not you. You're doing fine. But English has got the problem. It's got limitations in it. The first limitation is how you're going to pronounce it. Immediately, there's so many different ways to pronounce the same word. In Arabic, pronunciation changed the meaning. Also, you don't have enough variety. You can't express yourself. You're limited in how many words you have. Arabic is very rich because it's a Semitic language like Hebrew. By the way, how many of you know that Arabs are Semitic? Do you know that? You cannot be an Arab and be anti-Semitic unless you hate yourself. So we can clear that matter up right away. Let's go to the next thing, the word God. You see, in English, they don't have a meaning for God in God. And my mother always said, when she was talking about God, she'd say, God. You know, God. God. This is with a big G. But with a little G, it's God. Try to give it a different sound, but in Arabic, it's real easy. You say, Ilah. Ilah. What's Ilah? Ah, that's God. Ilah. And actually, in Arabic, we say, La ilaha. There is no God, illallah, except Allah. So we have two different words here to make a distinction. So if you wrote it in English and you said there's no G-O-D, with a little g, except G-O-D, with a great big G, that means closer to the meaning. But why not just say what it is in Arabic? It's much simpler. Because ilaha, or God, that's the first part of what we're talking about tonight. La ilaha illallah. What is Allah? It comes from the root ilah. But first, the meaning of ilah is something to worship. Anything can be worshipped for a god. A rock, a stick, a stone, a bone. Anything can... I could turn that into poetry. Couldn't I? Rock, stick, stone. Let me work on that. I'll get back to you. Anyway, so this is something to be worshipped. An ilah. Anything can be an ilah. But when we say Allah, it puts the article Z in front of it. Al, Z, Allah. And when it happens, an amazing thing happens. Because no longer can it be like the English word God, which can be goddess, female, gods with S after it. But Allah cannot be made plural, and Allah can not be made genderized. You can't make a boy or a girl. Not female, not male. So Allah is the perfect name to describe the creator and sustainer of the universe, because we're not mentioning gender, we're not mentioning plural, it's the perfect name, Allah. How do you like it? And by the way, for the benefit of those that have read some of these books and emails and seen the website telling you that Muslims don't even believe in God, we don't believe in the God with the little g. We believe in the God with the big G. And you said, I don't get it. Well, I'll tell you what you can do. The English language is only 900 and some years old. There was no English before the Normans invaded the Saxons. Did you know that? So let's go back 1,000 years. Just 1,000 years. What did the Christian Arabs call God? Allah. What's the proof? We still got their book today. The Christian Arabs today still have a Bible in the Arabic language. And what do you think is in the first sentence on the first page? Allah. And on the first page of the Old Testament, that means Jews and Christians, the word Allah is 17 times. And coincidentally, there are 17 verses. Amazing, isn't it? And then you've got people out here with PhDs, telling you that Muslims don't even believe in God. They believe in something called Allah, and they say that the Christians and Jews have no connection with that, that this is not even, that they never said that. They will tell you that Muslims have a God that's nothing to do with the God of Moses and Abraham and Jesus. Well, I want to tell you about their PhD. Okay? They're from Texas, I guess, maybe because it means piled higher and deeper. Because it's not true. And when you find somebody lying to you, what's your responsibility? After that point, you don't take anything from them unless they prove it without any doubt. This is very important for Muslims, by the way. We can't lie. When somebody asks anything, whether it's Islam or not about Islam, we can't lie because Allah told us in the Quran, O you who believe, stand out firm for justice and speak a word of truth, even if it's against yourself. So this is very important for you to know that. We're not going to lie to you, not knowingly, because we can go to hell forever for that. I don't need that. All right, so they got that out of the way. Let's move forward to the next word. The next word I'm going to mention is Islam. And most of you heard me mention this before because I've been here several times. Talked about the subject Islam and what does it mean? It's not meaning peace. And Islam is not, you can't just say, oh, Islam is tolerance. Have you heard people say things like that? It's not true. Islam means obedience to Allah. And Allah will not tolerate people who make partners with Him in worship. He said in the Quran, that we accept as being the last revelation, that He will not forgive anybody that sets up partners with Him in worship. But anything less than that, He can forgive. Okay? So we see it's totally intolerant, isn't it? And Allah does not tolerate that He would ever oppress or do zulm to anyone. And He doesn't like it when people do that to each other. He doesn't tolerate it when people do that to each other. So it's not a religion of peace and tolerance. It's a religion of obedience and sincerity and worship to Allah alone without any partner. So that's the second word. Let's move now to this word, Quran. We're talking about the Quran. I just came from some children's gathering and we were talking about the same thing. But I didn't mean to get into it. I was saving this for now because I was asking them about knowledge. I said, where's the proof that we're supposed to, as Muslims, become educated and knowledgeable? And one of the boys said, oh, that's the first word in the Quran. I said, what's that? He said, read. Read. How many of you think that was the first word that came in the Quran? Raise your hand. I got you again. Got you again. Doesn't mean that. They're going, we got a scholar with us. Okay. You're right. Recitation. Recite. So the Quran is recitation, and the word Iqra means recite. And the Prophet made sure that they knew, because when Gabriel grabbed him, the angel Gabriel grabbed him and pulled him to him and let him go, and he told him, Iqra. That was the first word. Iqra. He said, La anadikari. I'm not of those who recite. He didn't say, I'm not of those that are literate. Otherwise, he would have said, Ana ummi. And he said, La anadikari. Hello, pay attention. So now we understand the Prophet was ummi. He was illiterate. He didn't know how to read and write. But that wasn't what he was being told here. He was being told to recite. And he said, La anadikari. I'm not a reciter. Got it? There's a famous work of hadith that are collected and put together by Ibn Hisham. And in his work, he does a biography of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And from that and other works, we have some modern in English, been translated to English, called Al-Rahiq al-Maktoum. Should read this beautiful book to learn about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how he comes to have this revelation. Some of what I'm talking to you about tonight is coming from this book. Some of it is coming from the introduction to this book right here, which is the translation of the meanings of the Quran from the Tafsir of At-Tabari, Ibn Kathir, and Al-Qurtubi, with hadith or translations of the hadith on Sunnah of Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the English language from Sahih Bukhari. Okay? I know you want to know where it's coming from, so you can check it out with references. Next. Why am I saying that the Quran is the last revelation? Why am I saying that? I mean, after all, everybody knows about the Bible. I think, I would dare say that there's not any place on earth you could go and mention about the Bible or Christianity or Judaism, the people wouldn't know something about it. Wouldn't you think that was true? Problem. Yeah. But why am I coming up with this idea about the Quran? Talking about this is a revelation after the Bible, and then specifically, why would I? It's the last revelation, and that's why we're here tonight. So now we got the word set up. We're ready to get started. Ready? Get set? This looks like I'm going to take off or something, right? No. First off, we're going to talk about how did it come, and now we're going to go back 1,400 years ago. It was in the cave of Hira, and this is in Jabal Nur, the mountain of light. This event takes place at night, and it's in the holy month of Ramadan. It's on a very special night, a most peaceful and calm and beautiful night. So much so that there's not even the breath of a cloud anywhere in the sky. It's the most peaceful of all nights. And Allah mentioned it in the Quran. In the Anzalna Husi Laylatul Qadr. Wa ma adraka ma Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. He said that this night is the night of power. And what will convey to you what this night of power is? It's better than 1,000 months. Al-Fisha, that Allah sent it down in this condition with the angels, the Malaika, and the Ruh. The Ruh is mentioned here. Who is the Ruh? Jibril. The Malaika, wa Ruh. This is the Holy Spirit. The Ruh Qudus. Qudus means what? Sacred. Sacred Spirit. Any of the Christians will say, wait a minute, wait a minute. We know something about a Holy Spirit. We have it in our book. You're right, you do. For reference, go to your Bible and look in the story in Matthew in the 2nd chapter when it talks how the Spirit comes to who? To Mary. And tells her, Miriam, about she's going to have a baby, a miracle birth, and it's going to happen this way. And he describes, and she said, how is this possible? And what does it say in the Quran? The same thing. The same Ruh comes to her from Allah. Tells her the same thing. But when you go to another one of the Gospels in the Bible, you'll find the same story again, only this time it has his name, Jibril, Gabriel, with the same dialogue coming out of his mouth. It's not two different personalities. It's the same one. So now you know who's the Holy Ghost. You know who's the Holy Spirit? It's Jibril. Jibril. And he already came. He already came. Of course, that sets us up, doesn't it? Because you want to know now, well, wait a minute, then who was Jesus, peace be upon him, talking about in the Gospel of John? Said one comes after me who will be the Paracletos. Who will that be? But that's not our topic tonight. So we're going to stay on this subject of the Quran, the final revelation. And by the way, if you want to get any of the tapes or any of the CDs on these subjects, they're online. You can order them there. You can contact us or your local masjid or any of the Muslims here, and they'll give you copies for free. How about that? Can't beat the price. And by the way, it's money back guarantee. Yeah, right. Okay, well, if you don't laugh, I'm not going to give you all my good jokes then. That's how I'm going to be. You be bakhil, stingy with the laughter, I'm going to be bakhil with the good jokes. I'm going to give you the rotten ones. That's better. That's better. Okay. But save some for tonight when we get to the masjid, too. We need some laughter over there, too, in that program as well. And you are listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting through the auspices of Adley.net and IslamTomorrow.com. ISLAMTOMOOO. Let me back up again. ISLAMTOMOROW.com. You know what throws you off? You're saying double R and then you're saying double U. Listen, I'm serious. Double R is two letters. Double U. Have you ever looked at a W? Does that look like two U's to you? It looks like two V's. Why don't we say double V? I don't know. Let's move forward. We're talking about the final revelation. We're talking about the Quran. Is it the final revelation? That's a good question. Is it a revelation at all? Here's something that makes sense to me. If it's from God, there should be proof. And when you read the Quran, it says the same thing that I just said. If you're in doubt about it, bring a book like it. Well, there's a good challenge. And then it says, if it was from other than God, other than Allah, you would find in it many, many contradictions. Find one. That's good. And how about this? Most great works, books, especially dealing in subjects like this, have timelines in them. Timeline means you start at a place and you continue. Timeline means you start at a place and continue. A biography, an autobiography, anything where you're talking about people, you start with a time. Isn't that right? Huh? This works two ways. You guys cannot. You don't have a microphone. I do. Right? Right. Yeah, there we go. Have some fun. All right. When you look at the Quran, you don't find that. You don't find a timeline. You don't say, well, where do I start? If you look to the Bible, what's the first word? And the King James Version Bible. Are you a Christian? Where is it? Here is it. Okay. You're a Christian. You read your Bible? What's the very first word? It breaks the English rule. The first word in the Elizabethan English in the King James Version breaks one of the cardinal rules of the English language. You never begin a sentence with a prepositional phrase. And it says in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. And then in the book of John, it does the same thing, doesn't it? It says, in the beginning was the word. Right? Both of them are breaking a cardinal rule. They begin with a prepositional phrase. So it means what? It means not from God. God doesn't make mistakes. Wait a minute. With the exception of my brother-in-law. That's, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yes, kid, I'll do the stuff for them. What? He's absolutely right. Like he said, it's written by somebody. Yeah, and so what we're going to look at now is the subject of the Quran. In the English language, I'm going to tell you that there's no way the Quran is, in the English language, is something from Allah. It's not possible. It cannot be. Every Muslim in here agree with me? Raise your hand. Anybody think the Quran is the Quran in English? Raise your hand. No, it's impossible. It's impossible. Why? Because that means you just created a book like it in another language. And Allah said you can't do that. Make sense? So if somebody came to me and said, well, I got a problem here with your Quran in English, I'm going to say, I do too. I got a big problem with that. And if he said, well, it's not fair you're picking on us because there's going to be mistakes in the English of the Bible because there was no English even 1,000 years ago. And that's true too. And so it means no prophet of Allah ever spoke the English language because it didn't exist. So it means what? We need to go back to the original language. How many here are proficient in Arabic language? Consider yourself a scholar in Arabic language. You are? Really? How about English? Are you good with English? No. Is it? Okay, give me the word. I'm going to pick on you now. Shouldn't have done that. You're in trouble, man. Tell me simply this. The translation of Lekum Dinkum Waliyadin. Good answer. He answered like a scholar. He said, I don't know. This is the answer Imam Shafi. He gave Imam Malik, you're right. Imam Malik gave to the delegation that came to him with 40 questions. How many of them he couldn't answer? 37. He said, go back and tell him Imam Malik doesn't know the answer to those 37 questions. That's true. Yeah, okay, the reason I'm picking on that subject, because it has the last word in it, deen. Just translate that for me to English. Huh? Wrong. You want that word, religion, in Arabic, madhab. Yeah. Yeah. Be- Because deen, it means a way of life. And there's no single word in English that you can do that with. But religion, you can say, is essentially like a madhhab, which is an understanding of a way, and that's exactly what madhhab is, like a school of thought. Make sense? Okay, I'm just showing you, though, how tough it is when you start going to another language. So it means you got to go back to the original. So everything from this point forward, when I talk about the Quran, I'm talking about the Quran in the original Arabia, the language of the Arabs, and we're talking about 1400 years ago, so that we're not going to get mixed up and get in arguments over a word scourge. In chapter 4, verse 34 of the Quran, chapter on Nisa, and it says, scourge the women. Scourge or beat the women. We're not going to accept that because it's not the meaning. We already discussed this in earlier programs. It means to tap. Tap. That's the word. And none of the translators have given that meaning to it yet. But now that I said it, they probably will, right? I hope I get some reward from Allah for that. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, so that's the next thing is the Quran has to be in Arabic language, and the first words that come are, as we heard a little earlier, Iqra, and then it continues. And the angel told him in the Arabic language, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem, bismillahi rahmani rahim, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaqa, khalaqa insana min alaqa, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi alamu bil kalam, alamu insana ma lam yakam. And the meaning more or less to the English language, recite, in the name of your Lord who created mankind from a leech-like clot of blood that clean. Alaq. All of those words it takes to say Alaq. Recite. And your Lord is so generous who taught man by the use of the pen, taught man what he didn't know. So gives us the introduction now to the Quran. And it's coming, as we said, in the night of power. It comes in a cave. It comes in a mountain. It came a long time ago. But how do you know that that's true? I mean, come on, man. You're telling me this stuff, and here we are. We're in Columbus, Ohio, right? And it's 2003. And come on, how do you know? I mean, come on. Right? Even some people go, well, I don't know. And I'm not so sure. Because they didn't raise up around, they don't know. They don't have the evidence. That's the question. I remember to ask about how people are here. Maybe we have 100 or 200 people with us tonight. Alhamdulillah. I'm asking if we just had 10 people. Just, and I'm going to play with you. And I'm going to recite something to you. And then I'm going to ask you to recite it to him. Let him do the same. Nobody gets to hear each other. We're just going to whisper it. Got it? And you pass it on to 10 people that from mouth to ear, all in the same thing, all in the same day, all over the country, at the same time. Last one be to recite the same as the first one. Not unless they can. Because we've proven many times the human mind cannot receive like that. It won't, and it will innovate. It will add something or take something away. It will happen. So if you understood what I just said, I want you to think about this. Quran contains 114 chapters, 6,327 ayahs in the Quran. I don't know how many letters. Don't look at me like that. With all of that just said, what's the possibility that anybody could memorize, even one single human being on earth, could memorize it exactly? Possibilities are what? And then pass it on to somebody else? Zero. Pass it to the next generation, mouth to ear? Zero possibility. What is the possibility that somebody could pass it down to the next generation, to the next, mouth to ear, mouth to ear, mouth to ear? In 30 generations go by, 400 years, It's possible, unless it's a miracle. Unless it's a miracle. And today, living and walking mind, committed to the Quran, that's a job I hold up.
Is at 8:30. Well, so after the Tawheed class, the repeat of the Tawheed class will be the next lecture from Sheikh Yusuf, inshallah.